This is a Steven bed.
Oh, Steven. Welcome back, hour two of the game. Coast to Coast AM, George Norrie.
Oh, my God.
Mitch Fortner, Troy Coverdale, and AJ Shaw with you. Take it to 6 o'clock. That's when we start pregame coverage. Batcats, TCU squaring off. Game one of three. Big 12 style from Fort Worth. Doubleheader tomorrow. That will not be a game Sunday. That has been an official change. We'll have a doubleheader tomorrow, which begins at 12:30 and first pitch at 1 for game one. And the second game will start 45 minutes after the conclusion of game number one. The Cats have picked up their third commitment, men's basketball that is, for this upcoming class, and that is Brendan Housen, the 6'4 guard and a sophomore who will be a junior out of Villanova. I have a nickname for old Brendan. We'll get to that at 5:25. Blindly Ranked 5 NFL Draft Edition coming up at 5:40. We'll ask us anything at the end of the show. Want to get back to the NFL draft, and we'll touch on now the Kansas City Chiefs and what they did yesterday in moving forward with rounds 2 and 3, which they only have one pick tonight as it stands right now after a trade with the Buffalo Bills. But first, I got to talk to AJ for just a moment. AJ, your Chicago Bears had the first pick and the ninth pick of the NFL draft. Caleb Williams, a quarterback, and then Rome Odunze from Washington, a wide receiver. Two of your four picks have been decided. How you feeling?
Oh, I am ecstatic. I couldn't even go to bed last night. I was that ecstatic. Caleb Williams looks like the guy that could be that first franchise quarterback for them in 70-plus years. They've never had a 4,000.
70?
Yeah, they've never had a 4,000.
Better than Jay Cutler?
Yeah, there's never been a 4,000-yard passer. There's never been a guy that's thrown for 30 touchdown passes in their history. If Caleb Williams is that guy, the Bears hit a home run there. And then to get Rome Odunze at 9, who, I mean, I'm sure some fans wanted Malik Nabers, but again, Odunze was one of the three big-time receivers at the top of the draft that you really wanted to get. You know, and people say, oh, well, the Falcons, you know. Well, the Falcons weren't going to take a receiver. It was when the Titans took J.C. Latham at 7 that I had a pretty good feeling they were going to take Odunze. But now you have three number ones potentially in Odunze, DJ Moore, and Keenan Allen.
Yes, but it's the Bears.
Come on, Troy. Let me have some fun.
I don't know. I don't know. Can Caleb Williams be better than Mitchell Trubisky? Trubisky? Can you say his name right?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. But here's why I think
better
it could work
Jim
out.
Better than Jim
McMahon? Yes. Jim McMahon had that 1 year, but he was mostly injured. But
better than Jim Harbaugh?
Of course. The point I'm trying to make.
Wow.
This is
better than Eric Kramer?
Stop it. Okay. Eric Kramer had a good year in 95. Anyways, this is the best situation.
Better than
had.
Cade McNown?
This is the best situation the Bears have had for a rookie quarterback in a while, is my point. So I'm pretty excited. Yeah. That's my opinion.
We had a video game draft yesterday. If you missed the show, go back and listen to it. Just search for The Game on 1350 K-Man, wherever you listen to your podcast. I use Spotify. And I remember Cade McNown was on one of the backyard football games.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cade McNown.
Better than Sean Payton?
Sean Payton. Yeah, he was a scab player in 87.
So what was your reaction when I sent you the White Sox tweet last night?
Honestly, I wasn't even that mad. They're terrible. They're 3-22.
Yeah, that was kind of the reaction from people was, hey, don't get your stink on him.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams with a White Sox jersey essentially over the Bears jersey.
Yeah, the White Sox, yeah, don't get your stink on him. We don't need Jerry Reinsdorf corrupting him. I felt a little bad because they had Connor Bedard, who's on the Blackhawks, who's like a really big-time player.
Mm-hmm.
They had him record a welcome video, and he sounded like he was doing a hostage video.
That's how they are. Because they just, hey, can you send us a video of you like saying, welcome, Caleb, to Chicago?
Yeah.
They're just holding up a phone. Hey, Caleb, heard you got drafted. Cool. You're going to make a lot of money. Cool. Welcome to Chicago, the Windy City. Get a hot dog and something like that.
Yeah.
Get you some deep dish pizza, too.
It's a tourist thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say so.
How? Okay. Growing up, mm-hmm. how often did your parents order deep dish pizza?
Quite often.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I had my first ever slice of deep dish pizza at the Pop-Tarts Bowl.
Really?
Not at the bowl, but it was in the media room.
Wow.
They brought up pizzas. It was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that supposedly a very solid pizzeria. I did not go for the deep dish.
It's too much for me.
I'd try it once.
Yeah, in terms of the amount of sodium ingested, yeah, that's not a good thing for this body.
Troy, how'd you feel about the Kansas City Chiefs selecting Xavier Worthy with the 28th pick?
I really thought that was a solid pick on their part. I questioned the move up that cost them two more picks. I don't know that it was all that necessary. Apparently, they felt it was. And I'll give them that credit that they found, you know, the team that was willing to make a move with them. And at the end of the day, they addressed what I felt really was their number one need, and that probably everybody felt was their number one need, wide receiver. And it's a speedster. You add Hollywood Brown to the mix, and that room has gotten dramatically improved here just over a little bit of free agency and your first-round draft pick.
Yeah, I mean, that's your marquee pass catchers. Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, and, of course, Travis Kelce with the pending, you know, everything with Rashee Rice. Who knows how long he's going to be out. He may go to jail.
I'm curious, when did you see this tweet, by the way, last night that you sent to the group chat?
What tweet?
The one about the 40 times.
I don't remember where I saw it at.
For those that don't know, Xavier Worthy set the record at the Combine for the fastest 40 time ever at 4.21.
So he sends the tweet, and it's hilarious. Chiefs wide receiver room is crazy. Hollywood Brown, 4.27 40-yard dash. Xavier Worthy, 4.21 40-yard dash. Rashee Rice, 119 miles per hour.
See, everybody is saying, like, okay, this is the second coming of Tyreek Hill. Well, at least Xavier Worthy doesn't have the sixth-round pick off-the-field issues that Tyreek Hill has.
Right. Yes.
Or whatever round Hill was picked up. Fifth round, I don't remember what it was, but it doesn't have all that baggage hanging over his head. You know, Xavier Worthy is pretty deadly in the flats. I think that's where he does his best work. The speed is going to be really shown off right away. I was very vocal about where I thought the Chiefs should go, and they did. Go wide receiver, and I think you're good with either of the Texas wide receivers, either Xavier Worthy or A.D. Mitchell. I know Worthy is more their type. Brett Veach, this is his type of wide receiver. I still think you would have been fine with A.D. Mitchell, but the Bills are going to pick him up with the first pick today.
Here's the aspect, though, that just adds to it for Xavier Worthy, and that is the special teams aspect. With the change to kickoffs, bringing that back more into the game, Andy Reid was very clear last night that that's Xavier Worthy's job. And so it'll be interesting to see how much of it, of his initial play, is going to be special teams versus actual wide receiver rotation, or if they work to balance the both.
When it comes to the comparison with Tyreek Hill, once again, yes, I think you're getting off the field wise, you're getting a much better investment there. When it comes to comparing like the speed and thing, yes, Xavier Worthy is super fast, and so is Tyreek Hill. He had the best time, did Xavier Worthy, at the combine ever. Let's not go too far with that. I mean, the difference between 4.21 to 4.29. You can't even blink that fast. It's still blazing fast, but it's just the very slimmest of differences. There's barely a difference between 4.21 and 4.41, 4.51. Again, you can barely blink that fast. Not much of a difference. But you're talking about such an electric player. And this was the right decision to go with if you're the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, they have one pick today. It's late second round. They'll probably go offensive tackle with that. It's not going to be a super exciting day, I would imagine, for the Chiefs, unless they go with another trade. make another move to go after a particular player. That's right now not being really predicted, but you never know with the NFL draft. You know, really the big story last night, I thought, with the NFL draft, other than six quarterbacks being taken the first 12 rounds, was two trades. Or two, well, one pick and then one trade.
Mm-hmm.
Because you had the Falcons picking up Michael Penix Jr., which I love that. I really do. I love the chaos with Kirk Cousins being signed to a four-year contract with a ton of money. And then they go ahead and draft ninth overall. Michael Penix Jr. has a ton of injury issues, and they still picked him above or ahead of J.J. McCaffrey is hilarious. But the Chiefs—
You mean McCarthy?
Or what'd I say?
You said McCaffrey.
Oh, yeah, McCarthy. Yeah, anyway. But the Chiefs trading up to 28 to go get Xavier Worthy— And they trade with the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo, you already have a bad track record of trading with the Chiefs and that coming back to bite you. Remember back in, well, 7 years ago, 2017, the Buffalo Bills made a trade, which it looked like great job, Buffalo Bills, because Kansas City's going to make a reach. They're not going to take Deshaun Watson. They're going to take Patrick Mahomes. They're going to make a reach on a quarterback. Good job, Buffalo Bills. You just want to trade by picking up three picks. Buffalo Bills made those three picks. Actually, they traded two of them. And then one of them is a guy that's still on the roster, I believe. But now Patrick Mahomes has defeated you three times in the NFL playoffs. And now you're going to trade again with the Chiefs. And they pick up not only a guy that you need, but a guy that you're going to play next season. And you could very well see him in the playoffs. Why would the Buffalo Bills entertain a draft with the Kansas City Chiefs? Because they didn't even stockpile picks. The only difference was a little bit of shuffling around on when those picks would take place. Because they traded the same amount. And even when the Bills jump back again with who they trade with, I can't remember now. But
Carolina,
for the last pick of the first round, they jumped back one spot. They didn't get any extra picks with that. They just kind of swapped positions on where these picks would take place. So they didn't get any extra draft picks.
Yeah, there wasn't any real juice to it.
It was a very blah decision for the Buffalo Bills. So maybe there's more into it that I don't understand, or I'm just not aware of. But why would you go into a trade with the Chiefs? They have been the biggest pain in the entire AFC since Patrick Mahomes has been a starting quarterback.
The irony of the whole thing is, after that trade was made, the Bills fired their general manager. I'm not even joking. You can look it up. They fired the GM. It wasn't because of that trade. But when you look,
but let's be real, it is part of that.
It's pretty ironic, though. I mean, as bad a trade as it ended up being, I mean, they got some good players out of it. They got Tre'Davious White out of it. They got Tremaine Edmonds, but those guys aren't on the roster anymore. And you give up Pat Mahomes, you got Josh Allen, who's great, but I don't understand it either. I don't understand the philosophy, especially after you lost Gabe Davis, you lost Stephon Diggs. Who's your number one receiver now, basically? Shakir?
A.D. Mitchell. Are you talking about on the Bills roster?
Yeah, currently right now.
I don't know.
I mean, here's the good news. This is a deep enough draft at the receiver position where you can get a guy like an A.D. Mitchell.
That was another part of people freaking about this trade. That's honestly not the biggest deal to me. My biggest deal is, why are you working with the Chiefs?
Yes.
Because they did drop back, what, five or six spots, and they're going to still get A.D. Mitchell, which I'm a big fan of his. He was a transfer from Alabama. He torched Alabama in that game this past college football season, and it's a great pick. It would be a great addition unless they do something crazy again. I don't know who the Buffalo Bills' top wide receiver is.
Probably Khalil Shakir, who went to Boise State.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, and so you basically are setting up your quarterback to not have anybody to throw the ball to. Well, it worked for the Chiefs.
I love who the Bills, though.
Josh Allen isn't him, though. Sorry, Mitch. I
can tell you, though, like, so the Bills, who they have at quarterback, like their first, second, third string, to me is very entertaining. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen is obviously your starter. We just brought this guy up moments ago. Mitchell Trubisky is their second string guy. Shane Bouchel is now on the roster. for the Buffalo Bills. He'll most likely be the third string guy. I was a big Shane, SMU, Shane Buechel.
So they did sign Curtis Samuel in the offseason from the Commanders, but his career high in receiving yards, 851. He had 613 last year. You know, he's a solid number two, number three guy, but he's not a number one receiver. He's not.
Well, we'll find out what happens tonight. Bills are on the clock. They'll get the first pick for tonight's second and third rounds from Detroit, Michigan. I just thought it was kind of a blah first round when it comes to the dramatic plays. Drafting quarterbacks is cool. It can be interesting, but there were a whole lot of like big trades. Mm-hmm. And it just, I feel like it didn't live up to the hype. It was a little bit overhyped.
Yeah, there was nowhere near the juice other than just, well, how many quarterbacks are going to go? The fact that there were not as many trades as what they were predicting last night was big.
And only the NFL draft, the only tie-ins they've really done with the having the draft in Detroit is the motor graphics of when the pick is in, and all the bed music is Eminem instrumentals.
Yes, I did notice that last night. I was actually disappointed they did not find a use for Detroit Rock City by Kiss.
I was going to say, there are plenty of musicians from Detroit.
I mean, Motown, baby.
Yeah, you have a ton of musicians just from that aspect. But rock and roll, I mean, Ted Nugent's from Detroit. Kiss, you mentioned, there's a ton.
Yeah,
you could go with.
Yeah,
but it was Eminem all night. That's all.
I don't think Nuge would have gotten an invite.
Well, he didn't have to be there, but they can use.
Yeah.
They can use Cat Scratch Fever.
Yeah.
They did have 230,000 people though.
Yeah.
What?
I know you. Yeah. I know you and Monica were marveling over that.
When they hit that first shot on ESPN mm-hmm. last night, we both said, "Holy!"
Yeah.
Because it's
downtown too. Like it's
yeah. Yeah.
Well, I thought Kansas City did a fantastic job last year, but shout out to Detroit, man.
Yeah, did Detroit get Motley Crue to perform after one of the rounds?
I did not.
Who else was there?
I didn't follow any of the itinerary.
Because I remember Jonas Brothers were there, mm-hmm. Motley Crue was there, and they had like multiple musicians that played after the rounds wrapped up. Plus, of course, then they have during the draft, they have the house band playing. I do like that. I thought that was a great addition a few years ago when they added the house band
yes.
as entertainment between the picks. Because I've been to the draft. I went to Radio City Music Hall for a draft one time, and it was so boring. I stuck it out because I wanted to see a cat get drafted.
Sure, yeah.
And it happened in the seventh round thanks to the Eagles, and they got Bryce Brown.
This was 2012?
Yes.
Okay.
It continues to crack me up when you realize that we can go back and watch the footage of four guys sitting in chairs off to the side of where the draft was taking place. And that was ESPN's original NFL draft coverage. Four guys looked like that they were sitting in the lobby at the Hyatt.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, hour two of the game rolls on. We got K-State baseball guys coming up at 6 o'clock. That's pregame coverage of the Cats at TCU for game one of three with the doubleheader now. That'll take place tomorrow beginning at 12:30 with pregame. But tonight, first pitch is at 6:30 with Matt Walters on the call. And when we come back, guys, K-State men's basketball, commitment number three out of the transfer portal. He is a sharpshooter from three. I got a nickname for him. That's coming up next. Troy, you know this song, don't you?
No, I don't, off the top of my head.
AJ, no? Happened to be the first theme song for The Best There Is, The Best There Was, The Best There Ever Will Be, The Excellence of Execution, Bret Hitman Hart.
Oh, okay.
This was late 80s, early 90s for the Hitman. And the reason I'm playing this will make sense here in just a moment. Couple of cats hopefully getting drafted today. Cooper Beebe, Ben Sinnott projected to go in day two. Just not sure where they're going to go yet, but
right.
That's the fun of the draft. Hopefully Dallas Cowboys. Right, everybody? Dallas? Yep, everybody agrees. All right, cool. Moving on. Let's get back to basketball because the one thing I'm jazzed about the most, and there's no doubt about that, is who K-State picked up with the official announcement today from the gentleman himself, Brendan Housen, who will be coming in a junior with 2 years of eligibility remaining, the sharpshooter from three-point land. The Villanova Wildcat is about to become a K-State Wildcat, the right Wildcat, as he, well, obviously learned earlier this basketball season when Tyler Perry hit that game-winning shot with a couple of seconds to go, and the Cats beat Villanova in a whiteout game. That was a really fun game. I said during the break, I've got a nickname for Brendan. I think it's all very simple. Doesn't really have to do anything with from where he's from. He's from Amarillo, Texas. Well, maybe there's. I could probably find a tie into that. Give me a second. I'll think of it here on the fly. So I've seen this word thrown around a lot to describe Brendan Housen. Now, this past season for Villanova, averaged 6 points a game. He played about 17, 18 minutes a contest. But he is a hell of a three-point shooter. In his career, 39.5%. And that's where K-State has really loaded up so far in the transfer portal. All three guys they've added, Brendan Housen, Doug McDaniel, CJ Jones, they can crush some threes. They can score the basketball. Now, Brendan is more of a simple role of shoot the three. He's not going to run the offense. He's not going to be much of a ball handler. I mean, his assist number, he's not much of a passer. He's going to shoot, and he's going to crush some three, guys. He hit 61 this past season out of 160 attempts for 38%. He has made 88 in his career. He has not taken very many twos. But as I heard from a friend of mine earlier today, he is perfect from the field at the rim.
Hmm.
3 for 3. I mean, did you guys see the video of him? It's been going around ever since he visited, of him in the gym. He tweeted out himself, Brendan, just shooting in the gym, and it's like he's in the three-point contest. Boop.
Mm-hmm.
Boop. Doesn't admit, that's the future maybe of Brendan Housen. He will be be in that three-point contest at the end of the college basketball season when the Cats are in the Final Four. And, if K-State's in the Final Four, he wouldn't be partaking in the three-point contest. You never know what's going to happen with the Cats. But I do like their chances of making a little run, even though there's a lot more to add still to this roster. But Brendan Housen is a sharpshooter. That's the word, sharpshooter. This past season, half of the games he played in, he hit at least two threes. At least. In minimum action. 12 games last year. He hit at least 3 three-pointers. Man, telling you, at least half of the time he's going to go off. In his limited action, he's going to go get you a bucket, a three-pointer. That's what he does. He's got a role. Mm-hmm. He knows his role. And he's bringing that role, which is needed for the depth of K-State at the guard position or the wing position. He's going to shoot some threes for the Cats. He's going to make them. K-State is going to be a better team and certainly a better three-point shooting team thanks to Brendan Housen. But then I got to thinking. I was like, you know, Bret Hart's submission hold was the sharpshooter. Brendan Housen's initials are BH. Bret Hart's initials are BH. So from here on out, and of course, this is really going to catch on, and everybody's going to go on with this, right? Brendan Hitman Housen.
Love it.
How do we feel about that, Troy?
I'm behind it. I like that. That's solid.
If he's going to be a sharpshooter, he needs a name.
Are you going to call him that when you do PA?
So that's a whole thing, right?
You're limited.
I tried that once upon a time, and it got shut down, so I made... Because it goes back to the sauce boss.
Yeah, I knew where you were going, yeah.
And so when I got a no on senior night saying the sauce boss, number one, Reggie Stubblefield's, something like that, I then got the crowd participation instead of me actually saying it. So, and it was really cool. Brendan Hitman Housen, I think, has a great ring to it.
Mm-hmm.
I am so excited about this next season already because K-State has obviously addressed an issue that needed to be fixed. And that was this past season, a lack of three-point shooting. It just didn't click. It didn't get there. A lot of that pressure was on Tyler Perry.
Mm-hmm.
And he already had enough to work with having to play a lot of the point guard position. Defense was would hound him. They knew the scouting report. But K-State just didn't have enough threats. Just didn't have enough threats to shoot the three on any given night to go off.
Right, yeah.
K-State has that now with the addition of Doug McDaniel, the addition of C.J. Jones from the University of Illinois Chicago. Both of those guys can also score at all three levels. Brendan Housen is simply a three-point shooter. Rarely will you see him score a two-pointer. It'll happen once in a while. By the way, because he shoots a ton of threes, you don't see him go to the free throw line a whole lot. But if he does get there, 85% for his career, not too shabby. I will take that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in response, of course, if you haven't heard the news yet, well, this was a few days ago, R.J. Jones has entered the transfer portal. Quez Glover, who initially, from what I heard, was planning to come back, but with recent moves, recent additions, he has decided to move on elsewhere to use up his last year of eligibility after being injured this whole time. He only played in the exhibition game for K-State this past year. I you know, Quez, to me, hurts a little bit more. R.J. Jones still has the upside, but still work to do to get there. The sharp shooting effect that we thought R.J. Jones would have just didn't show up his freshman year, and that led him being 29% from three-point range and not playing a whole lot this past year. So he'll look for an opportunity elsewhere. But K-State was just 32% from three this past year. They were one of the worst teams in the Big 12 shooting the three. As a matter of fact, for most of the year, they were the worst team at shooting the three. It's hard to go get championships. It's hard to get to, you know, this the second weekend of the NCAA tournament. It's hard to just get to postseason basketball when you don't have outside shooting.
And that's just
or it's
how
very
game,
inconsistent. Sorry about that.
No, my apologies. I mean, it's hard, you're exactly right. It's hard to win games, and that's just how the game is played now. You need teams to stretch the floor. You know, Ish Masood shot 42% from three 2 years ago. You didn't have a single guy shoot above, I think, 35 last year, right?
I don't know if I have the numbers still pulled up here, but yeah, it was Arthur Kaluma would have been the best returning 3-point shooter at 34.5%. You know, 2 years ago. And Ish Masood was up there as well. I mean, Ish Masood 2 years ago was, God, I think he was 39, 38%. I'm kind of ballparking here.
About 41. Yeah. But he
was he over 40?
Yeah. I mean, but, well, I mean, you have to remember, though, he hit some huge shots as well.
Well, that's what he'll be remembered for. Two big shots in the NCAA tournament. The baseline jumper against Michigan State in overtime to put K-State up three. And a big shot against Kentucky, and that was a deep three. Keontae Johnson also hit one. Mm-hmm. Keontae was pretty underrated for his three-point shooting.
Right.
He wasn't a high volume throughout the season three-point shooter, but he would still make 40% of them. Pretty underrated. It didn't go as noticed. What was noticed about Keontae Johnson was the alley-oops.
Right.
From Marquise Noel. Or how good they were in their transition game. We knew he could hit shots. I mean, maybe it wasn't entirely underrated, but maybe it just, now that we're 2 years past or two seasons past, that it didn't get enough praise like it should have. He was just an all-around really good player. Really good player. And K-State got what they were looking for out of Keontae Johnson with his 1 year after not playing basketball for 2 years.
Keontae was a 40% three-point shooter 2 years ago. In his career, 39% from three. So you're absolutely right. He was a darn good three-point shooter.
Yeah, K-State really hit it well that year. Really hit it well. Desi Sills. Desi Sills was he was the spark that got K-State to the Elite Eight. When he got into that lineup, it turned things around. That was just a great start from the transfer portal to the returning guys. It meshed well. It didn't work out this past season. I think we have a pretty consensus feeling that we're feeling pretty good already about next year. There's still a lot of work to do with this class. Sorry, Jerome Tang, I know you told us a couple of days ago that you're hoping to have this class done in 2 to 7 days. I'm not sure it's going to get there because I think, according to my count, if Arthur Kaluma does stick with the NBA, that you still need four guys. You still have four scholarships available, so there's still some work to do. But I got to tip my cap. Yes, you do lose an R.J. Jones and a Quez Glover. This day and age, that's business. R.J. Jones was not going to be playing over these guys. It was going to take a lot of work to steal those minutes and to earn that playing time. Quez Glover, there's a lot of competition at point guard now. Yeah. If he stuck around, there were four on this team. Of course, they could play, guys can play the two as well, but there are multiple options, multiple identities potentially for the lineup. But I'm very excited. This could be an extremely fun lineup this upcoming season for three-point shooters. I think it's already set in stone that that's going to be expected. And I'm going to use the same thing I did in the first hour that I think another appropriate term of what Brendan Housen can be. Again, a three-point sharpshooter. Brendan Hitman Housen is he's an insurance policy. Because not everybody's going to be on every night. But the odds of him coming off the bench and giving you a spark from three-point range is in your favor. This is one of the best shooters in the transfer portal, and K-State got his commitment today. That's big. Mm-hmm. He's not going to play the most amount of minutes. He's not going to score the most amount of points. But he's going to be a key depth piece. He's going to have a key role. He's going to be pretty important this upcoming season on hitting a couple of shots game after game. That's going to be a spark for your offense. Another timeout when we come back. Blindly ranked 5.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to have Troy in the hot seat today.
Where's my pen?
I'll get you one during the break.
Thank you.
We'll get to this break. Blindly ranked 5 next. Yo, shout out to the Weather Channel. They have a live shot right now of a tornado on the ground in Iowa, and that is a fat tornado.
That is a beast.
Blindly ranked 5 time. Troy Coverdale's in the hot seat today. And, AJ, if you want to play along, maybe you guys can work together. I don't care. The theme this week is simple. First overall picks in the NFL draft all time. I'm going to give you 5. You rank them one at a time. You're going to rank them one at a time without knowing what comes next. That's the
right.
That's the whole reason for the game.
I'll join in. I'll let Troy go first, though.
All right. Well, you guys are working together. We're not doing separate rankings here.
Oh, okay.
Your first overall pick, Kayla Williams, Bears.
See, this is the flaw of him having an opinion on this, because he's going to go number one, right out of the box.
I'm actually not going to pick Kayla Williams. I know who you're going to pick, potentially.
No, you don't know his list.
Oh, his list. Okay.
He's got
You don't know what's coming next.
Okay.
I'm going to put him at number 3 just to be safe.
Your next number 1 overall pick was in 1996.
Keyshawn Johnson?
God, look at this guy. You're the next Stump the Schwab. Rest in peace, Schwabby. You know your stuff. Yes, you're right. Keyshawn Johnson to the Jets in 96.
Now I'm wishing I hadn't taken number 3.
One of my favorite players that can run his mouth.
I'll put him at number 2.
He can jaw with the best of them. That's probably what he's known for.
Oh, yeah.
Along with his career in the NFL.
You know his book. Just give me the damn ball.
While still playing. I'll go number 2 with Keyshawn.
All right, Keyshawn Johnson, number 2. You have Kayla Williams at number 3. Your next number 1 overall pick. All right, here we go, AJ. Wait, did you have the list pulled up?
No, I don't. I swear to God, I swear on my life. Just weather.
What does that other computer have on there?
I can't turn it, but it's just the. It's
I don't
the
know
feet.
If I trust you.
You can trust me.
2007.
Jamarcus Russell. One of the biggest busts ever.
Yeah,
Oakland Raiders.
That's an easy 5, man.
Yep.
That and Purple Drink.
Yeah, he got out of shape. It's like, as soon, because he was a holdout.
Yeah.
He was a first overall pick that was a holdout.
He didn't even sign his contract until after the first game.
It was beautiful. You just love the Raiders being in that spot.
Because he got like $25 million guaranteed, mm-hmm. and then he just got lazy.
This was back in the day where you didn't have rookie scale contract, so they could ask for anything, essentially.
Yep.
All right, so Caleb Williams, 3. Keyshawn Johnson, 2. You've gone also Jamarcus Russell at 5. So you have 1 and 4 left as we're ranking first overall picks in NFL draft history. 1986.
Ooh.
A good one. Was it Jim Everett?
No, it was Bo Jackson to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
And yeah, I should have known that.
And I'm going to put that at number 4 because it was a disaster of a pick for the Buccaneers.
Right, because
he never signed. It's why he became a Royal.
And Bo Jackson told them, I'm going to play baseball.
Yeah.
And they took him anyway.
Yeah, he wanted nothing to do with Hugh Culverhouse, the owner of the Buccaneers at the time. Absolutely, that was a no. He told them ahead of time. He was Eli Manning before Eli Manning.
And it was because they... It had something to do with he got like in trouble with the NCAA. I think that was the main reason why. Because the Buccaneers messed up.
Yes, they messed up in terms of when they had him in for things. And screwed up his baseball season.
Yep.
Screwed up his Auburn baseball season.
How did he become a Raider then? Did the Bucs just trade him?
Yes.
Okay.
Traded the rights.
Gotcha. Well, okay, you got one left.
Yeah.
Number 2, Keyshawn Johnson. Number 3, Caleb Williams. 4 is Bo Jackson. 5, Jamarcus Russell. Your final player, Troy Aikman. 1989, Dallas Cowboys. 3 Super Bowl championships. The first ever pick by Jimmy Johnson and Jerry Jones as a combo.
Yeah, yeah.
11-5 in the playoffs. By the way, the most accurate intermediate passer in NFL history.
The only reason that I would ever put Troy Aikman ahead of Bo Jackson in anything would That's be fair. In this situation because of the fact that Bo was very clear that he was not going to play a down for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Did Troy Aikman play baseball?
No, he did not.
No.
But John Elway did, right?
Yes.
Yes, John Elway got drafted by the Yankees, and had he stayed in Baltimore, he would have gone to the Yankees.
All right, that's Blindly Ranked 5. We got to quickly take our last break. We'll wrap up the show next.
What?
You're in charge.
Oh, I'm in charge? I didn't even know that. I didn't really think of one today. Your favorite severe weather moment?
Oof. Favorite?
Man, that's tough. Because I got a number of them.
Favorite would be the night I slipped into Sabetha shortly after downtown had been hit by one. By a tornado, and had the on-air meteorologist a little worried.
I remember I was a senior in high school. I was driving back from Manhattan to Clay Center with a friend, and it was like 11 at night, and it was just the whole drive was lightning strikes all around the truck, all over the place.
Yeah.
It was super like it was also like kind of hazy, so it had like an effect to it. Like it lit up the whole sky, lit up the it was. An incredible view, but it was also really scary. It was like at some point a lightning strike's gonna hit this truck and we may be in some trouble. I don't know, but it was incredible. I've never seen a tornado. Mm-hmm. I will at some point. You get much severe weather there in Chicago?
Not as much because of the lake.
Yeah.
All right, don't go anywhere. Coming up next, it is K-State baseball Batcats against TCU, game 1 of 3 in this Big 12 series, as Matt Walters will take over in just a moment, as pregame coverage will begin next. For AJ, Troy, I'm Mitch. Enjoy the weekend. Severe weather coverage, guys. Make sure you tune into K-Man. We'll have the coverage for you. Go Cats.